Critical thinking is a persistent effort to examine any belief or supposed form of knowledge in the light of the evidence that supports it and the further conclusions to which it tends. Critical mass is the point at which a reaction becomes self-sustaining. You're listening to the Critical Mass Podcast. I'm your host, Winston Crutchfield. Today I've got Chris and Kathy Vanderkay in the reaction chamber. They're going to tell us about their new project, Cross Threads, and how we can help raise the money to get this Christian sitcom off the ground and on the air. Few updates about what's going on at Critical Press Media. First, September sees the revival of the Data Vault Archive reprint line. You can head to the library at the Critical Press Media website to download some really great stories in Kindle, EPUB, and PDF formats. The current library has some great selections, and this month's release is The Monster Men by Edgar Rice Burroughs. The Data Vault Archives edition is handsomely and conveniently formatted for your digital reader with a new cover and an introduction to the story. All Data Vault Archive editions are released on the first Friday of the month. The Monster Men will be available for free download on September 2nd, or you can purchase a printed copy from the Critical Press Lulu store to support our work. Also, starting in September, all of the Data Vault Archive reprint digital editions will be free downloads. Be sure to check back as more of those become available. Atomic Earth version 2 needs some final playtesters and a better edition name. So write me with something better than version 2 and request your free beta product download as we gear up for the release of the game proper. You can email me at mindspike@criticalpressmedia.com. Atomic Earth is a tile-laying tabletop game of giant atomic monsters in a world overrun by mutants created from shards of pure elemental energy. Version 1 is officially out of print, but version 2 is coming soon with streamlined rules and redesigned art for the new production run. You can sneak a peek at the world of Atomic Earth by downloading The Least of These or Water is Life from the Critical Press Media Benefit Projects page. Each book is a free download and contains an original Atomic Earth story. Speaking of benefit projects, the summer projects have been extended into October, and we still need authors to fill the pages with original material, so send in those manuscripts. Book 1 is Miracles, themed around the evidence of divine intervention on Earth. Book 2 is Forerunner, themed around those people who prepare the way for others to follow. Check out the complete project requirements at the Critical Press Media submissions page. Okay, enough of me. You want to hear the Vanderkays and find out about their new project, so on with the interview. And I am in the reaction chamber with Chris and Kathy Vanderkay, and they've got a little project going on, a sitcom that they're working out, but I think it'll be better if they tell us about it themselves. Chris, Kathy, welcome to the podcast. How have you guys been?
Good, thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you very much. We really appreciate being on the show.
Now, Chris and Kathy are podcasters, were podcasters when I got into the hobby and had been doing it for a while, and they've done one or two different shows since then. But now they moved on to other projects, and I understand that you are co-writing and helping to raise money and awareness for a particular sitcom that you're shopping around. So tell us what you got going on right now.
Well, the project, the one you were talking about, the sitcom, is it's a single camera sort of I guess the style. It's a fake documentary, more like The Office or maybe 30 Rock to an extent. It's not the traditional sort of three camera laugh track sitcom, but it's called Cross Threads, and we're working with a really great production company down. And he told me about an idea that he and the producer slash actor of one of the characters on the show, Tony Santamici, they were just sort of tossing around an idea for the show. Kurt had written the pilot, but it was, you know, like, he wasn't sure what he wanted to do with it, so he sent it over, we discussed it. And the premise of the show is basically about a youth pastor is getting a new job, having a young wife who has just become pregnant, you know, it's the first 9 months of his job, the first 9 months of their first baby coming, and him adjusting to kids, because he doesn't have kids, so this is his first interaction with them in sort of a leadership role, and also sort of his struggle to just find his place in a church, you know, where who's in charge? He's in charge of the kids, but someone else was in charge of him. And it's sort of about the dynamic of the way people interact in real life. And I think it's something that isn't really on television right now. And I think it's a unique opportunity to sort of fill a niche that people haven't really filled before now.
All right, well, that sounds an awful lot like the youth pastor at my church. We're... Is this drawing from experiences in your own church and your own lives?
Well, it's certainly drawing on experience, but I wouldn't say it's from anyone in particular of the writing staff. I think what we find is that, like in most writing, the really good writers can find scenes that connect to everybody, whether or not they've specifically happened to them. And I think the reason why you can watch a science fiction film and connect to it. Because you understand where people are coming from emotionally, you care about the stakes, you care about the people, and that helps you. In the same way, like in The Office, where people who have never worked in an office understand the humor, understand the point of view of the characters, it's the same way with this. Where not everybody is a youth pastor, and even, I mean, some of the people who watch the show probably won't even be people who regularly attend church, but they will understand the plight of the people, you know, their investment, both in the kids and in their job, in their families, and, that's really the point of the show, is to try and show everybody that we're all connected, regardless of what our position is, you know, what our family is like. We all have things in common. There are different ways that we all connect. And I think that's kind of the touchstone of the show, is to show everybody the universality of everybody's experience.
Now, that isn't to say that Chris and I haven't indeed had some experience as leading the youth in our church, because we did try to do that for a little while. You know, we would take over when the youth pastor wasn't there, and that was an exciting and terrifying experience that I'm sure will come out in the show. So we do have a few little ideas of things that happened to us that we might include.
I love how you equate those two adjectives, exciting and terrifying. You know, one and the same. Well, that's nice. I mean, this is a sitcom, so, I mean, obviously you're going to be reaching for that comedy element. Now, is this something that you're really pushing for, kind of an over-the-top, bring in these just really unusual elements to provide humor, or is this coming from another direction?
No, I think that a lot of it is observational, but, I mean, we do have great characters. We have the character of Kyle, for instance, who's sort of the worship leader. He is a little zany. He's a little wacky. He's got, you know, he sort of walks his own path. But I think that, I don't know, there's not too much over the top. We really wanted it to be kind of a slice of life and, you know, that these characters are... You know, like Chris said, they're trying to find their way, and, you know, we can all laugh at it along with them while they're doing that.
Yeah. I think most of the humor really does come from situations and people dealing with situations that tend to be more real life. And the reason is that I think, much like with, as I was saying earlier, with science fiction, you can only connect to something when you can relate to it. You know, the reason why shows like The X-Files were so successful is because you cared about the characters, and so you would be willing to go someplace that seems outlandish with them. And I think the same is true of comedy. If you go too far, you lose the likability or the relatability of characters. And so I think the best humor comes from when characters are reacting as they react, but in a situation where they're really not comfortable.
Sure. And, you know, I didn't really expect to get through a whole conversation without you guys mentioning The X-Files, but I expected it to come from Kathy.
That is our touchstone. I mean, obviously not for a sitcom, but, you know, I have trouble stringing more than four or five sentences together. together without making mention of it.
There you go. That's okay.
In our daily lives, not even just in writing, just in general, when we go to the grocery store.
Oh, sure. You know, everything you need to know in life you learned from the David Duchovny, right? Or Gillian Anderson.
There you go.
Oh, goodness gracious. Okay, well, you know, it sounds like you've got a good approach, and you've got a great approach to the drama and the humanity and the humor and all this other stuff. I really have to ask, why a youth pastor? I mean, when I think of kind of the approachable comedy that people are going to be able to relate to and stuff, that really isn't even on my radar at all. Where does that come from?
Well, I know that, I mean, in fairness to Kurt, the director of the show, that was the premise that he and Tony Sensimici, the producer, came to us with. He said he liked the idea of a young youth minister just coming into a church and sort of learning his way, learning his footing. But I think there's another universality to that, too, and in the experience puts them right in the middle of life. There is the older person. There's the, sort of the shepherd, which is the pastor. He's the older, wiser character. And then, of course, there are the sheep that they're supposed to be leading, the kids. And so it gives an interesting dynamic to have someone in the middle that's not quite one and not quite the other. It gives you that little bit of an outsider feel, which most people at some point in their lives can relate to. And I think that helps for people to connect. And also, there are very few shows anymore that attempt to appeal to an entire family. Very few. Well, I mean, when they used to say family shows, they used to mean appeal to the entire family, not just were appropriate for the entire family, whether everyone wants to watch it or not. And I feel like with a show where you have an older pastor, you have 20-something or 30-something teachers, and then you have the youth, you have demographics for everyone to connect to. And with that, you give the opportunity for more of an audience to be able to watch the morning show.
And this really is, I think, everyone, all characters in the show really have, we focus on them individually, too. I think that the kids are going to be a big part of the show. We have a lot of storylines already that we started where we really feel like we hope we can reach that audience as well. We really feel like, you know, we have something to say to them, and we hope that they feel included as well.
Okay. Well, then tell us a little bit about, since, I mean, you're writing this together, tell us a little bit about what that collaborative writing experience looks like for you guys. Uh-oh.
Let's collaborate on this conversation. I'll go first and clean up what I said so that it looks better.
That's how
we work.
That's how it goes.
Well, we work together on pretty much everything that we do. I think I wrote a couple of screenplays a while ago by myself, but I quickly found that Kathy has not only an ear for dialogue, but a really good sort of hawk-like ability when I'm writing to sense when something isn't going in the right direction. I think maybe because she's able to get back. I basically sit at the computer and I do the typing and I read it while I'm writing, and she's constantly sort of feeding back on that and saying, you know, well, that's not the direction we wanted to go. Let's see if we can get it back this way. And certainly with comedy is a much bigger help because there's nothing sadder than an overweight man sitting by himself in front of a computer. That's not really conducive to comedy. So it's nice to have someone else in the room that's bright and happy. It really makes the process of writing comedy a little more reasonable.
So, how sweet.
Actually,
I think that Chris is really great at the action of a story and moving it forward and, you know, the plot. He's perfect at that, and he's great at coming up with, you know, how it should go in that way. That's never been something I feel like I've been very strong at. I've tried to write several novels myself, and I always kind of get to, like, 50 pages in, and it's sort of all descriptions of things, and no actual, like, events have happened, and I don't know that anyone would want to read that, but I do like, I like dialogue, and I like, I like that part of it much more, and so when the two of us come together, I think we fit really well in that way, and he's great to write with. He's, he's brilliant. He's the smartest guy I've ever known. So I feel honored that we're able to do this and so blessed that we just, share and do together.
Well,
everything she said about me.
Well, it sounds like a dream job. I hope it goes well for the both of you on that. Tell me a little bit about the producers, the directors, the production company that's actually going to be making this sitcom, that's going to be executing this script into a teleplay format.
Sure, yeah. Well, I mentioned earlier the director, who will also be a producer, but he's directing the pilot, which will hopefully turn into a series. His name is Kurt DeVries, and his company is Babalu Films, and he's located in Tampa, Florida, where, you know, just about an hour from us. We're over here in Orlando. And we met, like I said, through another film project, but he came into our sphere because he's won quite a few awards for a lot of his short films. He directs a lot of music videos for Christian music artists in the Tampa area, and he was looking to produce a first feature, and we came together for that feature, but then upon talking to him, he showed us this idea, and we sort of worked this idea, and it was through Kurt that we actually met Tony Sensimici. He is the producer. He's the other person that sort of spearheaded putting this project together. And Tony is an actor that probably a lot of the people, you included, a lot of the listeners, would know by face, if not by name, because he is a television actor. If you've seen...
I wouldn't count on that. I am horrible with faces.
A lot of shows. He was on Army Wives. He was on Treme. He's actually going to be on the season finale of season 2 of The Glades. He's kind of all over the place. And, if you went and found him on the IMDb, you would look at his resume and be like, oh, yeah, I've seen that. And he pops up a lot. He's a really good actor. And he is playing Pastor Radke in the show. But more importantly, he's actually the producer on the project. And that has been a big, big help for us because he knows a lot of people in the unions. He knows a lot of people in the area down there, along with Kurt. So it's really been helpful in assembling the project and getting our talent together and other people to back us up. And then obviously as far as production goes, the other big help has been a man named Michael Beazel. He's the head of development at a company called Gallagher Literary. And their job basically, the whole company, is basically they look through screenplay after screenplay, look for good work, and then when they find something they think is good, they help you to streamline it, to support it. And then usually in the case of feature films, they help you find funding. Well, in this case, Michael really liked our work, so he came on board as a producer to try and help us find investors for the pilot so we can shop the pilot around to a couple of networks.
So where did the two of you come into this project?
Where did the
two of you come into being involved in this project? Did you said that that they brought it to you?
Well, essentially what happened was Kurt and his friend had written a draft for an episode of, I didn't even know what really. They knew a couple of the characters. They had the central character of the youth pastor and a couple of the kids, and they knew that Pastor Red, he was in it, the character that Tony's playing. But it was basically about 27 pages, I think, which is a little longer than a normal script is for a sitcom, for a half-hour show. And he said he wasn't completely happy with where this one went in particular, but he said he was interested in shooting this as a sitcom and shopping it around. So Kat and I looked at it, and we gave him a couple of ideas we had, but I think we all realized it was a very ambitious first episode. And by ambitious, I actually mean expensive, because the concept was originally all the kids, the whole youth group was going to be inside of a bus that was sort of broken down in the middle of nowhere, and originally his wife was giving birth in this episode, so we were going to be in a hospital for part of the storyline, and it was a very complex first episode. It was not a bad story, but it was probably way more expensive than we would be able to afford to pay for ourselves. So I said, well, let's do a bottle episode, which is what they call it when you basically stick everybody in one room and, you know,
right,
and don't spend any money on going out to exterior sets. And so, you know, Kathy and I discussed with Kurt a little bit about the characters, got a feel for who we wanted everyone to be, and then basically wrote the new pilot, which is the first day that Scott comes to get an interview for the job and ends up finding out that the pastor has decided he has 10 minutes to make a lesson plan and then teach all of the teams who are sitting in the room waiting for him. And that is his interview. And so that's the premise of the first episode. It's him basically sort of getting thrown in the deep end and just desperately trying to swim and how well or not well it works out for him.
Wow. Well, you know what? That sounds more exciting than everything else you've said up to date, which has been, okay, you know what, this is cool, I'll check it out. But that right there is the kind of thing that I can really relate to, and I can just see all sorts of ways for that to go wrong. Now, you did say ambitious means expensive, and you're not wrong. You guys are trying to raise the funding to film the pilot and shop this around to the networks. So tell me what's going on with that.
Well, Bert and Tony, in typical fashion, have been able to find quite a few people who are interested in looking at the project, but obviously there's nothing to look at right now except a script. So what they want is a pilot episode. And we have a few places. We've looked at NRB, which is the National Religious Broadcasting. We've talked to a couple of places that are online outlets, and then we also have places through DirecTV and other places like Gospel Music Network. But obviously, all of them need something to look at. So what we're doing right now is we have a Facebook account. If you go to Facebook and just look up the words Cross Threads, that's P-H-R-E-A-D-S. It's two words, Cross Threads. That's the name of the show, and you can go there. We have a promo reel that we shot of the main three characters, and it gives you a little idea what the show is about, and it also has contact information for how to get to our Kickstarter account, which is what we're doing right now to try and put together the $5,000 that we need to shoot the pilot. Which sounds like a lot of money, but it's not anywhere near as much as you think when you're paying actors that are good quality actors and you're getting really good technical people behind the camera. They're basically working for a pittance because they help the project, as are we all. Because $5,000 doesn't go as far as you would think it would in television. And so our goal is to get that $5,000 so we can get all the people involved to shoot for, I think it's going to be about 5 to 6 days for the shoot. And then once we have that work, then basically we start taking it to networks. And since we've already had interest garnered from some of the networks, that, I know it sounds crazy, but will probably be the easier of the processes than the shooting of the pilot. We'll actually be finding someone that wants to put it on.
Wow. Now, Kickstarter is on now. That has already started, and you have a limited time on Kickstarter. If people aren't familiar with that, you have a limited time to raise your funds, or no money changes hands. So, when's the deadline for your Kickstarter?
We actually only have until September 18th left. So this, there is a ticking clock on this. And, we've had a few people go and put in some money, but the problem has been thus far is that, we just started it, and we have only started beginning to, sort of, call it shake the trees as far as letting everyone know what's going on. So, we're really starting to get some traction on letting the general public know about the product. And, when you were kind enough to invite us on the show to talk about it, we really appreciated it because this is kind of where we're going with it. We really want the community at large to be able to be involved in producing a show that they would want to see on TV rather than just taking whatever they're given. They could actually be integral in helping to get something they want to see on television.
Well, it's my pleasure and privilege to have you both here. This is fantastic. Any chance I get to share some chat time with you. Now, you have on Kickstarter, since this is where most of your funding is coming from at this point, you have two rewards levels. Tell us what you're asking from people on Kickstarter.
Well, I think the rewards go, if you pledge $25, you receive a DVD copy of the pilot episode, which is pretty awesome. And then I think if you pledge $100, you get a signed movie poster, a DVD copy of the pilot. I think $1,000 or more is an invitation to the cast and crew wrap-up party, and I think it's you or your family members will be invited to the set where you could be cast as an extra. So that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, and there's obviously a limited number of those because there's only so many people you can stick into the scene. So we actually have a limit of 5 for the $1,000 awards, but the rest of them, there's an unlimited number of awards that you can get for the signed poster and the copy of the pilot of the DVD.
That's excellent. Makes me wish I could pledge $1,000 to come down there party with you.
Well, no problem. We will definitely hold you to that.
Yeah, will you?
I'll
I'll see what I can do. I wouldn't hold my breath too long on that. You're more likely to see me at one of the other one of the lower two levels, but definitely
I'm so supportive of us that we'll definitely say that you're invited around anytime you wish.
And also to anybody who wants to go to the Facebook page and the Kickstarter page, even if you can't donate, just going to Facebook and liking it, leaving comments, letting people, because we're going to talk to sponsors for products to appear in the show, or people who want to put in funding on this. And if they see that there is a lot of interest in this project, they're going to be more likely to want to help us out. So if there's, you know, if you don't have money, but there's a way that you want to help out, this is another way you can help out. Go and you can like us. You can tell everybody that you know about it in the hopes that they'll come and like us, or that maybe they have $10, $15, $20 they could donate. Anything like that is a huge help for this show.
Well, that's fantastic. Okay, well, this is great. We're coming up on the end of our time together here. So, real quick, do you have any other projects that that you're working on that you want people to know about?
Well, there is a script that Kathy and I wrote together. It's a spiritually themed suspense thriller, which is actually also being directed by the same gentleman, Kurt DeVries, who actually that was the project we met on. We were working on that. There's not much to say right now because we're actually in the funding processes of that, but we're moving forward on that. And then we have another film that's being a Western that's being shot in Texas, and that's in, well, it's in pre-production, but it's another one we're working on. But this is the one we're really focusing on, and then we also have a pilot for a serialized horror television show that we are putting the finishing touches on so that we can start shopping that around, because we've noticed that's something that's, well, good horror tends to be missing for the most part on television right now.
Okay. Shooting a Western in Texas. How odd. Here I thought Westerns were traditionally shot in Italy. But,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, this isn't spring for the spaghetti, so we had to shoot it in Texas.
There you go. Okay, well, one more time, where can we get a hold of you? Where can we, how can we spread the word, and where can we contribute to Crossthreads?
Well, the place to keep track of what's going on with the show is on Facebook. If you just look up Cross, C-R-O-S-S, and then a separate word, Threads, T-H-R-E-A-D-S. You'll find our Facebook page there. You can do the same thing at Kickstarter. Just look up Cross Threads at Kickstarter, and that'll bring up our account. Or you can go to Kickstarter from our Facebook page. And then as far as contacting us, I would say your best bet, if you wanted to follow what's going on, you can go to the Babaloo Films website, which is Kurt DeVries' site, and he updates reasonably often about what's going on with various projects, so that's babaloofilms.com. And I think those are probably your best ways to keep track of us. And then obviously, we'll be in contact with you, so anytime there's any updates, we let you know. You can certainly let your listeners know.
Fantastic. All right, well, Chris, Kathy, thank you so much for spending some time with me today, for, you know, for sharing your vision. And here's hoping that we can do this, you know, more often than once every 3 or 4 years.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
Yes, it's been a good time.
Okay, thank you once again to Chris and Kathy for joining us in the Reaction Chamber. It was a great interview. Always a good time to have those guys on the phone. Join us again next week as the guys and I review the new MTV show Death Valley. Yeah, I know, MTV. Go figure, right? But this has proven to be far and above beyond our expectations. Meantime, I really need some outro music, so I'll get to work on that. If you have any good suggestions, send them my way. And I can be reached at mindspike@criticalpressmedia.com. So write me in with questions, comments, and snide remarks. And, of course, we're going to close with the fact that this podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial 3.0 license.